Welcome, investors, to the Absolute Return Podcast, your source for stock market analysis, global macro musings, and hedge fund investment strategies. Your hosts, Julian Klimochko and Michael Kesslering, aim to bring you the knowledge and analysis you need to become a more intelligent and wealthier investor. This episode is brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
Welcome, podcast listeners, to episode 94 of the Absolute Return Podcast. I'm Julian Klimochko.
And I'm Mike Kesslering.
Today is Friday, October 23rd. A few really, really interesting things happening in the market this week. We're going to highlight an interesting hostile takeover bid from Altice and Rogers for Canadian cable company Cogeco. They actually boosted their bid by $800 million, yet Cogeco still rejected this. We're going to get into the dynamics on this, why Cogeco rejected such a lucrative offer that is ultimately costing shareholders well over $2 billion of lost value. Pretty shocking. Some crypto news. PayPal is going to allow their customers to buy, sell, and shop using Bitcoin. What do crypto investors think about this initiative? And lastly, touching on some more friendly M&A here, ConocoPhillips continuing this trend in the oil patch of low premium consolidation deals. They announced the acquisition of Concho Resources for $13 billion. How are Concho shareholders doing in this deal? Plus, we're going to talk a bit about Golden Parachutes and executive comp. But Mike, let's start things off with Altice and Rogers really shocking the market this week, seemingly, with their improved proposal for Cogeco. We previously discussed this deal on the podcast last month. It was an unsolicited offer quickly shot down by Cogeco's controlling shareholder. No one really knew what the next step for Rogers and Altice was. So we found that out this week. They're coming back, topping it up by a stunning $800 million. So the deal goes from being worth $10.3 billion initially to now being worth $11.1 billion. In terms of the offer per share, remember there are two Cogecos outstanding. There's Cogeco Communications and Cogeco Incorporated. The bid stands at $150 per Cogeco Communications share and $123 for Cogeco Inc. share. That represents premiums of 51% and 56% respectively, significantly higher than the standard 25 to 30% control premium. So shareholders getting a sweet, sweet deal on this one. But unfortunately for shareholders, the controlling Ade family, specifically Louis Ade, the chairman of Cogeco, is not having any of it, despite Rogers and Altice offering a stunning $900 million for their 3.3% stake in the company. Now, what's shocking here, like, it's a massive premium deal, sweet value for shareholders, we should know because we are one. But nonetheless, the Cogeco board was quick to reject not only the first offer, $10.3 billion, but the second offer, which reflected premiums of more than 50% for both the Cogeco shares. They rejected it basically solely because Chairman Louis Ade, it has no interest in this bid, which is stunning. And I wanted to get into the shockingly bad corporate governance in this company. His family only has a 3.3% economic interest in Cogeco, which is really, it's disturbing because this grants them a 66% controlling voting interest in the corporation just due to their holding of multiple voting shares. Now, this rarely happens these days. It's really a relic of a time gone by when corporate governance was much less of a consideration. However, poor corporate governance really coming out into the forefront here. And if we look at that $900 million offer for their 3.3% stake, the economics are pretty outstanding because this $900 million for a stake currently worth only $150 million in the market, this equates to $500 per share, which represents a shocking 500% premium. So clearly, I don't know what Louis Ade is thinking. However, you know, to get to that $500 per share, I believe he's 68 years old, not going to happen in his lifetime. So clearly, he's being driven by something other than money here. Perhaps he likes the perks of the job, the reputation, etc. Also notable is that in this deal, Rogers owns one-third of Cogeco worth $1.6 billion. They want to buy the Canadian assets while Altice wants to take the U.S. assets, specifically Atlantic Broadband. So Rogers owns about tenfold the amount that Louis Audet does. The only unfortunate thing for everyone all around here, not only did Audet reject this bid, but think about that $900 million offer for $150 million stake. That delta, that $750 million delta, could be going to subordinate voting shareholders such as us. So, you know, it's tough not to get a bad taste in your mouth from this example of poor corporate governance. Obviously, the market not liking it. Despite the offer being increased dramatically, Cogeco shares fell almost 10% this week on news of the offer, and now we're trading at a shocking 35.5% discount to the offer. So the upside is nearly 60%, 60%, representing well over $2 billion of lost value for shareholders. When the initial bid was announced, Cogeco shares went to as high as $132, but now fallen to actually a lower price than when the first bid was announced. I believe they're around 98 and change then. Now they're about $97. So really, really poor raw deal for a Cogeco subordinate shareholders. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's quite frustrating. And even the deal as currently constructed, as speaking as a minority shareholder here, you're still seeing a substantial amount of value capture by the Audet family, which is frustrating as a minority shareholder. They are extracting value from shareholders in this situation.
Well, not by rejecting it.
Sorry, it as the deal is currently structured, which they have denied.
Shockingly, they still don't take it despite taking so much for themselves or being offered so much for themselves from the pockets of other shareholders and still rejecting it. And to me, that's just absolutely shocking. It reminds me of, say, back 10, 12 years ago when Frank Stronach was, I believe, paid $800 million premium for his voting shares in Magna, which was just shockingly bad corporate governance at the time. But this one perhaps takes the cake as the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, and looking over into the long term as well, in terms of the strategic rationale to be selling Cogeco, is these are both competitive markets, which they are at subscale. As you had mentioned, Altice is interested in the Atlantic Broadband, which is competing in a market against the likes of Charter and the large broadband companies.
Yeah, plus Altice is backed by big, big money.
Exactly, with Patrick Jahi. And then when you look at Canada, you have the Canadian market that is dominated by larger players being Rogers, you have TELUS. You know, this is a very competitive market, which also keep in mind that especially in the US, the players in the US are committed to spending a substantial amount on 5G. So they're going to be outspent pretty substantially. And so really being a shareholder moving forward, it is in your best interest to be acquired and achieve scale in this industry. That is important. We'll be talking about that a little bit in the Conoco deal, but it's especially important in this industry. So just all around very frustrating as a minority shareholder. It's why we absolutely hate dual class shares, which we talk about in many IPOs that try to come to market. They'll come with a dual class structure. Some of them keep it, some of them will move forward with an IPO and cut that portion, but it's just terrible corporate governance.
Yeah, you know what our attitude is, one share, one vote. That's how it should be. Anything less, just, you know, that's not the best from an ESG perspective, which is becoming a greater and greater consideration within capital allocation and asset management these days. The other unfortunate thing is this likely wouldn't be Altice and Rogers' last offer. I believe there is room for them to further increase this bid, but Louis Audet said this is not a negotiating stance. Their shares just aren't for sale, which is unfortunate, as I indicated, costing his family nearly $1 billion and costing Cogeco subordinate shareholders well above $2 billion. Altice and Rogers indicated Their offer stands until November 18th, so unfortunately, we don't expect a lot to happen here. The market not pricing in much of anything. In fact, the stock is actually lower than where it was prior to this being announced. Obviously, it would be a great deal if they could come to terms on an improved offer, because we do hold both Cogeco Inc. and Cogeco Communications shares in our Accelerate Enhanced Canadian Benchmark Alternative Fund, trading as ATSX on the Canadian market. But this is a deal that we will continue to follow, continue to monitor, because if anything, a case study in corporate governance gone wrong and something that investors should pay attention to from an ESG standpoint, and why we really need to ban dual share class structures on a go-forward basis. But that is my diatribe for the day. Let's get on to this interesting Bitcoin and cryptocurrency news, with fintech giant PayPal Holdings announcing that it will now allow its customers to hold Bitcoin in its online wallet, in addition to being able to shop using Bitcoin. And note that they have 26 million merchants on their service network. They have 346 million active customer accounts. And PayPal is just a massive company, nearly $250 million in market cap. In addition to this move into the Bitcoin space, they're also exploring M&A, some acquisitions of cryptocurrency companies. Media rumored is BitGo, which is a company that helps store Bitcoin securely. So if they're going to offer this Bitcoin service within their app, they are going to need some sort of custodian option. And it looks like they'd rather buy than build. But Mike, what are your thoughts on this deal here with PayPal getting big into the crypto space finally?
Yeah, I guess first of all, on the custodian side, what's interesting about the rumors around BitGo is that PayPal within their announcement, the service provider that is providing their custodian services for their crypto side is actually Paxos Trust Company, a crypto custodian. So it's interesting that they would be wanting to acquire someone different than who is actually providing their services. I thought that was a little bit interesting. But just to dig a little bit deeper into what is happening. So first, you, as a PayPal customer, you will be able to buy, hold, and sell cryptos in your wallet as of Q4 this year. But longer term, looking into Q1 of 2021, seems like part of PayPal's plan is to grow users with their P2P cash transfer app, Venmo, where you will then be able to transfer in the Venmo accounts using crypto. But for a little bit of context, one of Venmo's main competitors is Square's Cash App.
Yeah, and it's been super hot.
Yes, and in January 2018, Square actually started allowing users to buy and sell Bitcoin. That was kind of around the time of the crypto boom, where crypto was just trading off the charts. But during the time frame from January 2018 to today, you've had the Square Cash App, their monthly users have increased 5x to 39 million, whereas Venmo's grown 2.5 times during that time to 29 million. Now, this is just one variable for the difference in growth, but it is likely that they felt that this was partly responsible for the differing growth rates. So it's a play for them to try to catch up with the Cash App. But one thing that is really negative in the crypto community surrounding this is that with the PayPal system, users actually aren't able to transfer their crypto out of their accounts or even between accounts to start off. So they're not effectively not allowing self-custody of the cryptos, which is inherently important for the crypto community. So a lot of crypto enthusiasts have went out on Twitter and are complaining about it. I believe the founder of Ripple had some comments around it. There's been quite a few players that have voiced their displeasure for this, really viewed it as a nothing burger because of that. I would disagree with them just because it still is at its base another large firm that is interested in expanding within crypto. And as well today, you did have Mike Novogratz. Now, he's the CEO of the Canadian-listed Galaxy Digital Holdings. He was interviewed on Bloomberg, and he's been a Bitcoin bull for a few years. But the point he was making today was around the industry consolidation that you mentioned, Julian, and his belief would be that it wouldn't really be among crypto players consolidating between themselves, really looking at more strategic M&A where you have outsiders coming in, buying the expertise in crypto, as opposed to building it out themselves, where you have the BitGo rumors. And notably in the BitGo transaction, Novogratz's firm is actually an investor in BitGo. So they would stand to gain from that, as well as Goldman Sachs and the Founders Fund backed by Peter Thiel. So I think it's quite interesting times in crypto. We've seen a lot of interesting developments and a lot of really legitimate players getting into the space now.
Yeah, we had MicroStrategy and then we had Square and now PayPal. The momentum continues to build. And I keep saying this, but it's only a matter of time until we see large pensions and endowments, these brand names getting into it. And once you have, say, a Yale do it, everyone else will follow. It's only a matter of time. And when they start getting into Bitcoin, then where's the price going to be? Significantly higher. Nonetheless, investors loving this news, bidding up the price of Bitcoin. It jumped this week over 13%, hitting new 52-week highs around 13,000 US per Bitcoin. So another positive development in the space, but much of what we have been harping on over the past number of months. Wanted to lastly touch on a friendly M&A deal in the oil patch. And we've had such a brutal bear market in the oil patch for so long that it appears that many management teams are just pretty much throwing in the towel and saying no mas. Specifically in this one, we're seeing ConocoPhillips striking a friendly deal to acquire Concho Resources for $13 billion inclusive of debt. I believe the equity value is $8.7 billion, something around that. So this was an all-share deal, low premium transaction, 15.4% premium, which is quite a bit lower than the standard 25 to 30% control premium that we see on the average M&A deal. But really, it's been the story of oil patch consolidation, these really low premiums, because that's what you see in a bear market. You see high premiums in a bull market, and when they're just throwing in the towel, desperate for merger partners. And Mike, as you're going to get into, managements with very large golden parachutes, that really makes them more likely to accept a deal that's perhaps not so great for the target shareholders. From Conoco's perspective, it does appear to be a counter-cyclical bet. They're continuing to expand their presence in U.S. shale oil and gas. Specifically, this deal expands their asset base in the Permian Basin, which is where we've seen probably the most growth in U.S. oil and gas production over the past decade. Now, this is the third deal in recent months, the string of oil patch consolidation. First, we saw this Chevron Noble Energy deal in July, $13 billion transaction. Then Devon Energy taking over WPX for $12 billion last month. But, you know, how are shareholders doing in this deal? As I indicated, low premium, not just that, but both Conoco shares and Concho shares dropped about 5% this week. So not great for shareholders, but isn't it pretty good for management?
Yeah, really good for management, as this triggers a change in control payout of $44 million total, with $9.7 million going to their CEO, Tim Leach.
That's a nice payday.
Yeah, and so as a multiple of his current salary, this is actually pretty significantly higher than peers. So just using the CEO's example, it's about a 9 times their current salary, whereas prior, they had actually just made a change to the severance payout in early 2019. And so prior to that, the payout would have been about 2 times their current salary. I think their peers clocked in somewhere between 4 to 5 times on average. So this is a pretty large payout and a pretty, in my eyes, it's a pretty large incentive to sell if you're the management team. And when you talk about the premium, although it is lower than what you would expect in a normal market.
And even worse, given that it's all shares and the shares tanked.
Yeah, exactly. But given the fact that analysts, when this deal was kind of leaked out in a couple of days before, and at that time, sell-side analysts were expecting a no premium deal. So I guess technically 15% is slightly better than nothing. But as well, from a valuation perspective, just looking at it through forward EBITDA, they were acquired at a forward EBITDA of 5.6 times.
Which is very low. The market's at what, 13, 14 times?
Yeah, exactly. But is in line with the Parsley Energy deal. I believe that was done at 5.7 times. For Concho shareholders, I mean, I guess this gets them shares of Conoco, which is a little bit more liquid stock, gets them to a bit larger scale. Liquidity will come into play if they want to wait till close and just sell out immediately. Although by the looks of the investor sentiment at the time of this announcement, just gauged by the share price performance, looks like investors are already heading towards the exits and getting out.
Yeah, it makes sense. And from a merger arbitrage perspective, not a lot to do on this merger spread. Fairly slim, which is typically what you see with low premium deals. It's coming out at 1.3% annualized and a 95% implied odds of success. Really no point in doing a risk arb deal at 1.3% with downside risk in case this breaks. And in my opinion, little upside optionality because we are in an energy bear market and bidding wars don't happen in bear markets.
And I guess the only other... one of the other players that has been talking about doing Permian M&A is Exxon. I mean, do you think there's any appetite for them to overbid?
Oh my God, I think their shareholders would have a conniption if that happened. As we're seeing in energy, you announce a deal, your shares are going to trade down even more. And look at Exxon's share price. Clearly, I think heads are going to roll if they do any other big M&A deal. So certainly no interest from energy investors backing these companies. Like I said, Conoco shares down about 5% this week. Not a great deal for Concho Resources, perhaps a pretty sweet deal for management. Arbitrage spread, real, real slim. In my opinion, much better deal in SPAC arbitrage where we're seeing, you know, low risk returns in the 7% annualized and higher range where you don't have this deal break risk. So that's where we're allocating most of our capital in the Accelerate Arbitrage Fund. We definitely prefer SPAC arbitrage to straight merger arbitrage in most cases these days, but who knows what's going to happen? That's always subject to change. But that about wraps it up for us. Interesting episode. A lot of cool stuff happening this week on episode 94 of the Absolute Return podcast. If you enjoyed it, check out more at absoluteretournpodcast.com. Definitely follow Mike on Twitter. What's your handle?
It is M_Kesslering.
And you can check me out at Julian Klimochko on the Twitter machine. And until next week, we wish you all the best in your investing and we'll chat with you soon. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the Absolute Return Podcast. This episode was brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com. The views expressed in this podcast are the personal views of the participants and do not reflect the views of Accelerate. No aspect of this podcast constitutes investment, legal, or tax advice. Opinions expressed in this podcast should not be viewed as a recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or investment strategies. The information and opinions in this podcast are based on current market conditions and may fluctuate and change in the future. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made on behalf of Accelerate as to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Accelerate does not accept any liability for any direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage suffered by any person as a result of relying on all or any part of this podcast, and any liability is expressly disclaimed.